After a plane crash or natural disaster, it can be difficult to determine the identity of human remains. Scientists are always looking for new forensic techniques, and some Swedish researchers have devised an unusual one. It takes advantage of nuclear weapons testing in the 1950s and 60s. That's when the U.S., the Soviet Union, and other countries exploded nuclear devices in the atmosphere. Traces of those tests persist, and scientists in Stockholm are using that fact to identify corpses and help solve homicides. The world's health and science editor, David Barron, reports.
At Sweden's famed Karolinska Institute, you'll find a forensic pathologist named Henrik Druid. He's often at the institute's morgue.
Here are the dead bodies kept in refrigerators.
It's a tidy place, white tile and stainless steel. But a few years ago, things weren't so orderly. Druid was here at the time of the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami. Hundreds of Swedish citizens died while on vacation in Thailand.
There were bodies transferred to Sweden without having been identified in Thailand.
Some ended up here, and it was his job to identify them. That wasn't so easy, given the condition of the remains.
From the bodies, you could absolutely not tell the age, not even tell a teenager from an adult.
Medical examiners often have a hard time determining the age of a body. But Druid had an idea. He'd been working with a biologist at the institute.
I'm Kirsty Spalding.
Spalding's originally from Australia. She devised a way to determine the ages of cells in the body using radioactive carbon in the atmosphere. Now, some radioactive carbon is natural, and scientists take advantage of it to date archaeological sites and ancient remains. Spalding was interested in what happened in the 1950s. Atmospheric levels of radioactive carbon shot way up.
And this was a result of nuclear bomb testing.
After a treaty banned atmospheric testing in 1963, levels began to fall. Well, radioactive carbon-14 gets absorbed by plants. It's then absorbed by us when we eat the plants or when we eat animals that eat plants.
So essentially the carbon-14 levels in the atmosphere mirror what's in our body at any given point in time.
And she figured there may be a way to use this phenomenon to determine when a person was born. If she could find a part of the body that forms early in life and remains unchanged as the years go by, the radioactive carbon levels within that body part should reflect the levels in the atmosphere when it was created. In other words, this old part of the body would provide a kind of time stamp.
And I just guessed that maybe teeth would be something old.
So Kirsty Spalding and Henrik Druid developed a technique that got its first real-world test after the tsunami. They take human teeth, place them in glass vials. They fill the vials with a solution that dissolves the soft interior of the teeth. And they put the vials in an ultrasonic bath, which loosens the hard enamel. They then send the enamel for analysis. Spalding and Druid did this on 6 tsunami victims. They compared the amount of carbon-14 in the tooth enamel to the changing levels of carbon-14 in the atmosphere to determine in what year the tooth was formed. From that, they could estimate when these people were born. And they were able to verify the ages they came up with when the bodies were later identified using dental x-rays.
It did actually prove to us that the method worked because our age estimates were spot on.
So the two scientists thought, well, if the technique can help identify victims of disaster, why not victims of crime? On the outskirts of Stockholm a few years ago, in a forest along a rural road, 2 hunters discovered a body. It was just a skeleton, really, with a Timex watch strapped to its right wrist.
So they called the police, and when we arrived, we could definitely say that it was not a natural death. He was obviously murdered.
Police Detective Bengt Janssen says he can't elaborate on why his investigators knew it was a murder. The case remains open. But the police had a basic question. Whose body was this?
We knew nothing about this person to begin with. It was obviously not a child or a very young person, but that was about all you can say.
DNA revealed the sex, male. Skeletal analysis showed him to be of thin build. His dental fillings were of a sort not seen in Sweden. Police guessed the man was from Eastern Europe. But without knowing how old the man was or how long his body had been in the woods, detectives couldn't tell if he was one of the many people on Sweden's list of missing persons. So the police sent several teeth to the Karolinska Institute. Again, Henrik Druid.
And the radiocarbon analysis shows that the person must have been born 1941 or before that.
In this case, the teeth showed no elevated carbon-14 levels, so the man must have been born, and his teeth must have formed, before atmospheric nuclear testing began in earnest. That result hasn't solved the mystery of who the murder victim was, but Detective Janssen can now say who the victim wasn't.
We could exclude all missing persons in Sweden, for example. We could do that because we don't have anyone fitting into this data that we have now.
The police now suspect the man was intentionally not reported missing. Perhaps he was an illegal immigrant. Perhaps he was involved in organized crime.
It's a bit uncertain, but it still helps us a lot.
The Karolinska Institute scientists are helping in other murder cases, too, in Sweden and Canada. For now, they provide the tooth analysis for free. But Kirsty Spalding is thinking about starting a business. And her big hope, to offer the technique in the United States.
There are many, many unidentified cases in the States, thousands and thousands. So one potential market is very much to clear this backlog of unidentified cases and provide the first bit of information for many of these cases.
Meanwhile, scientists elsewhere have found other uses for carbon-14 from nuclear testing. Some are verifying the vintages of wines by determining when the grapes were grown. Others are uncovering forged paintings by determining the age of the canvas. But these techniques have a half-life of their own. As the atmosphere heals and radiocarbon levels return to normal, grapes, canvases, and teeth will once again look like they did before we split the atom. Unless, that is, nations start exploding nuclear weapons in the atmosphere again. For The World, I'm David Barron, Stockholm.